Awesome God, you grace us with your presence and your love. Remind us of the gift of every moment. Guide us to be welcoming. Inspire us to live into a radical hospitality. We ask this and all things in the name of our brother and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're taking a break from the Gospel of Luke this week. Normally through year C in the lectionary, which is where we are, we'd be reading a lot of Luke, but there's only 3 years, there's 4 Gospels, so we sprinkle a bit of John in every now and again. So that's where we are now. We're right in the middle of the Gospel of John. We're right in the middle of Christ's ministry. There's a lot of story that's already happened, a lot of story that's already been told, and quite a bit yet to come. In fact, we find Jesus visiting with his friends, Mary and Martha. He's visiting just after having raised their brother Lazarus from death. And he's there too. Mary is expressing a radical hospitality by welcoming Christ and anointing his feet with costly perfume. Judas is complaining about how many of the poor could have been helped with the sale of that perfume. And Jesus is foreshadowing his own death by talking about his burial. So why is John, the gospel writer, bringing up Jesus' death only halfway through the gospel, only halfway through his ministry? And why is Jesus bringing up his burial when Mary is just welcoming him into her home? And even with all this going on, why include Judas in the story? The whole passage seems like kind of a mixed bag when you do a surface reading of it, but when you look at the gospel writer John as a whole, this is kind of par for the course for him. John often mixes elements to get us thinking. To get us thinking about life, death, love, betrayal, and grace all at the same time. He does this here so soon after raising Lazarus to remind us that despite his power, Christ's time on earth is limited. It's precious. What John is doing here is calling us to see life in the same way as we see Christ. Precious and with purpose. And the problem is that we don't. We come here week after week, and through the whole of our Christian lives, we hear about the beauty of the kingdom, the joy, the love, the peace of the kingdom. We hear stories of how what is coming is so glorious, that treasure waits for us. Basically, that what comes next is amazing and beyond what we can imagine. And I'm sure it will be. But then, how do we end up feeling about this life? Really, though, it's easy to fall into the mentality that this life is just a waiting room for the real gift. That we're all just biding our time until the moment we get called up to the kingdom. This is partially what the gospel writer John is telling us through this scene in Mary and Martha's home. Just like Christ, our life on earth is limited. It is a precious gift. No one stood around waiting for Christ to die so that they could benefit from the gift of eternal grace. No, they celebrated his presence. They savored every moment of his life. It should be no different when it comes to our lives. Every breath and every moment is a miraculous gift, and how we spend this life is a testament to how much we appreciate it. Is it important to work towards that kingdom that we talk so much about? To give thanks for what lies in the days to come. Yes. But a big part of that is the journey that we make, the impressions that we make in our lives and on those around us. So part of our takeaway from this John reading should be an appreciation for how precious life truly is. Every life, all our lives, each one of us. But there was another part that I mentioned that John never misses. Purpose. In this scene, and in most anything that John writes, there is a purpose behind what is happening. Who is there? What is said? He's at Mary and Martha's house just after raising Lazarus from the dead. Life. Mary anoints his feet. Hospitality. Judas complains and is named as the future betrayer. Deceit. Christ foreshadows his own departure from this life. Death. There's poetry in the purpose. And John calls us to live our lives with such purpose. To make every moment count. To make every breath a prayer of thanksgiving. Every movement an extension of the will of the divine. Along with seeing this life as a gift, is using that gift to its fullest potential. Who can we help in the moment? And how can we change the world, however small that change may be? And in our gospel reading, even though we know that what Mary is doing is beautiful, that she is welcoming Christ in a beautiful and amazing way, we can't help but feel a bit awkward when we read it. Along with this story of hospitality, we have the character of Judas. In this story, Judas is calling Mary out for being so wasteful with the perfume. We feel awkward when we read this because, isn't he right? And because we've said much the same thing as Judas did, and not so long ago. Back before the new year, the current government in Canada pledged to welcome 25,000 Syrian refugees into this country. 25,000 refugees. What a promise to make. What a show of radical hospitality. And yet, as beautiful as that gesture was and is, I heard the words of Judas often and loudly. What about the poor in Canada? Shouldn't we be helping them rather than expending our resources on refugees? Sure, it's not expensive perfume, and we're talking about something a little bit more complex than the washing of the feet of our Savior. But the message is the same nonetheless. But before we get too far, I do want to say that helping the poor, the marginalized, the struggling here in Canada is definitely a part of our mission as Christians and as Canadians. But let's be honest. Where was this cry for justice a year ago? Where was this cry for the poor before we started dealing with the refugees? You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. These are the words of Christ in our reading today. Here he reminds us that the care of those in need is ever a part of our mission as people of the way. He also reminds us that we can't ignore what is going on around us, that sometimes there is something so amazing, so terrible, that if only for a time, our focus must shift. For our story today, the presence of God with the people, the limited time of that presence was enough to stop and for Mary to take notice. For us, that moment, or series of moments, was back in September. Though our eyes probably should have been opened to this problem much sooner. Back in the fall, I offered a message about the Syrophoenician woman, the Syrian woman in our gospel story who was crying to Jesus to help her daughter. As it would happen during that week leading up to that reading, we saw images of children washing up on a beach, children of families who were running from a terror so great that a leaky, overpacked boat was safer by comparison. Just as she cried out to Christ over and over again in that reading, so too do these images and stories of brokenness play over and over in our minds again and again. Purpose. Ours is to welcome the Christ into our homes with radical hospitality, just like Mary. Ours is to serve Christ wherever and whenever we meet Him in our day-to-day lives. So where is Christ? Christ dwells with the poor, the refugee, the sick, the lost, and the lonely. When we see them calling to us for help, it's His face that's staring back at us. Let's not deny the holy in our neighbor, stranger or familiar. Let us not deny the holy in our neighbor the welcome that they deserve. Let us not deny ourselves the opportunity to be like Mary, kneeling at the feet and serving our Savior. Life is precious. It's a gift that we should not squander. Let us live this life with divinely inspired purpose. Let us reach out to those in need and see Christ in all that we meet. Amen.